Okay, sometime in June, I had a dream, and I've had dreams periodically and not taken too much notice of them. And my dear wife has often said, "Why don't you record them or something? They probably mean something." Maybe I haven't given them as much importance as I should have. But I had a dream in June, and I shared it with our Saturday morning group. And we agreed that I should share it with the church on the Sunday, the next day. But something else occurred on that morning, I think, which made it not really suitable. So I haven't actually shared it since then. But I thought I would just speak about dreams. And in fact, it's such a fascinating subject that I've found it difficult to restrict myself to the hour and a half I've been given. So I hope you're all sitting comfortably.
Wait till I get my cup of
Anyway,
tea.
there are 21 dreams in the Bible, and 10 of them in Genesis. So dreams have been with us right from the start. And six of the dreams have been by kings, two have been by chaps called Joseph, and only one apparently by a woman. So I was just thinking, the thought occurred to me that it's just as well that in those days they didn't have a group such as the suffragettes or the women's liberation movement and all that sort of thing. They'd be all going around the streets with these banners saying "More dreams for women." So, but fortunately that didn't happen. So anyway, the people who had the dreams, all these dreams, that they were dreamt when the people were asleep, and that's the difference, I think, between dreams and visions. That dreams are something that can come to us in the night when we're relaxed, and some of them can be our own thoughts, but some of them can be from God. And they can come in various guises from God. I think a lot of them seem to be warnings. And I'd just like to read at the start from Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 3. "If a prophet arises among you, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder which he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, 'Let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or to that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So I think that sometimes it seems that God can give us dreams, and we have to determine whether they are of him or not. And it often it, the I mean the test will be whether the dream meets with his word. And if it doesn't, then it's obviously not from God. If we just read from Job. Job 33, 13 to 18. This is Elihu who is speaking to Job. And he says, "Why do you contend against him, saying, 'He will answer none of my words?' For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while they slumber on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and terrifies them with warnings, that he may turn man aside from his deed and cut off pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword." So God can give us warnings of things. And just thinking of my dream, the dream I shared with our group. it was a sort of a warning, because one of my interests is the criminal justice system. And in normal times, I would spend quite a bit of time in the Crown Court in Oxford, sitting in on cases and imagining that I was in the place of a juror. And in this dream, I was in the Crown Court, and I was in court number two. And I walked in, and there was no one in the judge's chair or throne. It's a very big chair. The judge's throne, so there was no judge there. There was no jury, and there was no one. If you think of on the left is the judge, on facing is the jury box, and to the right is where the accused would be. There was nobody in the accused box. But the middle of the court was busy with various barristers. And at the front, I noticed a blackboard with writing on it in chalk. And there seemed to be about half a dozen lines of just squiggles. And then at the bottom, there was, in large letters, there was a word, G-A-Y-M-E. And I thought, oh, that's strange. I just pronounced it game. So, and that was it, really. I then left the court. And so in the morning, I mentioned it to Rosemary, who immediately got onto her, I'm just getting rid of the chat, got onto her phone to see if it meant anything. And we found that it certainly did, because although I pronounced it game, it was actually gay me. And it turned out to be a truly disgusting program on the television in the United States, whereby I won't explain the whole thing, but it just seemed to us that it was a program which tried to persuade straight people to become homosexual. And we thought, when we were talking about it, we thought God must have brought that to our notice so that we could bring it to his court and pray against it, which we have done. We did then and we have done since, and pray against this disgusting program, and pray that it would be taken off the television. But it also occurred to me that we can think that there's a possibility that how decadent the world has become, and you think it can't get any worse, and then somebody comes up with rubbish like this, and you think maybe it can. So that was it was I think that was a warning for us. And other ones, if we go into the New Testament, Matthew. Matthew 2. This is where Jesus has been born, and where are we starting? The wise men, Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." So they were two dreams of warnings. God warning them of danger that they could, so that they could avoid it. And if we just go, I'll go to Joel. Joel 2:28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." So, and then Peter repeats that in Acts. So I think that if it said your older men shall dream dreams, I might have included myself in that. If we go back to Genesis 37. Five to nine. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they only hated him the more. He said to them, "Hear this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him yet more for his dreams and for his words. And then he had another dream and said to his brothers, "I've dreamed another dream, and behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." So, and then in verse 19, they see him coming to them, and they say, "Look, here comes this dreamer." So dreams were with us right from the start, right from Genesis. And I read another one in chapter 40 about the chief butler and the cupbearer and the baker. And I couldn't see, I don't know if anybody else has, but it says that they offended offended Pharaoh, and he was angry with the chief butler and the chief baker, and he put them in prison. I couldn't find out what they had done to upset him. But one night they both dreamed, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each with his own dream, and each dream with its own meaning. When Joseph came to them in the morning and saw them, they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, I pray you." So the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. And you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly, when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and do me the kindness, I pray you, to make mention of me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of Hebrews, and here I also have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered, this is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief butler and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler to his butlership, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. But, as I said, I couldn't find out what they had done to upset him, but I don't know why the baker got the worst of the deal. Just wanted to finish with a couple of dreams I've had since the first one a few weeks ago. It was one I had last week, and in it there was a picture of there was a lot of people milling around. They were all rushing hither and thither in all directions. They were all crammed together, rushing all over the place, not seeming to know where they were going. And there was a slogan there, and it said, Charlton to Chalton. And I thought, during the dream, I thought, that's strange, Charlton being an area in London and Chalton being in Manchester, maybe it was saying south to north. And I thought it could equally have said Cornwall to Cumbria. But I think God said to me in the dream, what he was saying was, at the moment, there are people just like all crammed together, rushing around, not knowing where they're going, but that there was going to be revival coming from south to north throughout the country, and that everybody or people would start to go in the same direction along that narrow road. If I just mention finally, maybe on a lighter note, a dream I had a few weeks ago, which I think another subject that I think could be a good one for someone is God's sense of humor. And I think this one came from that, because I was born and brought up about 25 miles from Leicester, and my dad first took me to watch Leicester City Football Club, probably 1950, when I was 9, and I've followed them ever since. So it was a Friday night, and the Saturday morning I woke up and I said to Rosemary that I dreamt Leicester were playing Crystal Palace. Now Leicester, since the lockdown's been eased, they haven't been playing very well, and their main striker Jamie Vardy hasn't been scoring. So in my dream, Leicester had beaten Crystal Palace 3-0, and Jamie Vardy had scored 2 goals. Which was very unlikely. It's unlikely for them to win 3-0 and for him to score anything. So the match happened to be on the television. So remember, that was my dream. happened to be on the television that afternoon, so I watched it. And Rosemary was in the office working away. I watched it and I said to Rosemary at halftime, it's 0-0. I think it's going to finish like that. So anyway, shortly into the second half, Leicester scored, but it wasn't Vardy. So I went through to Rosemary. I said, Leicester winning 1-0, but it wasn't Vardy. And then it got halfway through the second half and Jamie Vardy scored. So I went through to Rosemary. I said, Leicester winning 2-0 and Vardy's just scored. So then it got almost the end of the match and I thought it's going to finish 2-0. And with seconds to score, to play, Jamie Vardy scored the third goal. And I went through to Rosemary. I said, Leicester have just won 3-0 and Jamie Vardy scored two goals. And it was amazing. I mean, so Rosemary said she thought it was an example of God's sense of humor. I mean, what else could it have been? It wasn't a warning to me or anything like that. It was just if you think of the thing is, I was saying that I think that another subject for somebody sometime would be God's sense of humor. And if you think of, if you think of it now, God just sort of chuckling, couldn't you? I'm going to put something in John's head. I'm going to put this in John's head and chuckling. And then as it, you can imagine him as it happened, you know, sort of. And I thought that was really, really funny. That's all I have. Thank you.